and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So as I was writing my sermon, I was thinking about the first sermon that I wrote when I came to Resurrection, and the feelings that I had as I stood before you all that day. And I was nervous that day. I was worried about what you might think about my message. And it was okay, but I was definitely nervous. Standing here 2 years later, I think I'm even more nervous. And I think it's because there's so much emotion around this day, my last day here with you all. So you'll have to help me out. I'm counting on the Holy Spirit, who's here all around us, to hold us all together as I bring to you this last word of my time with you. So a number of years ago, my home congregation received a bequest, and it was specifically to get new RED parents. So a committee was formed, and a liturgical artist was brought in. And after several meetings, the artist designed these beautiful pyramids for us. On the front hanging is an enormous dove descending, and its feathers are like flames, red, gold, and orange. They were really beautiful. And on the first Pentecost, after we received them, they were dedicated, and we all enjoyed the beauty of our sanctuary. And then a few days later, those pyramids got tucked away in the sacristy. Why? Because you see, the red pyramids, they're only allowed out like one Sunday a year. Maybe two if your congregation takes them out on Reformation Day. What is it about these red pyramids? The blue ones, the purple ones, the white ones, they all have seasons to remind us of what they're about. But these ones that we use to commemorate the Holy Spirit, only one Sunday a year. And I think it's because the Holy Spirit makes us a little uncomfortable. Now, in some Christian churches, the Holy Spirit is right front and center all the time. My kids will know that I refer to those churches as the Amen, Alleluia churches. These are the ones that are where there's a lot of exclamations, the Holy Spirit is moving, obviously, all the time. But here in our Lutheran tradition, we like things a little more composed, maybe a little less spontaneous. We're uncertain about what to do with this Holy Spirit, who came in a rush of violent wind, visible as tongues of flame on the disciples. And it is a fantastic story. And let's face it, if the Holy Spirit moves like a violent wind, she's going to be a little hard to control, and unexpected things are going to happen. But if you think about it, isn't that exactly how God works in the world? You've probably used that expression. God works in mysterious ways. Take a look at the disciples. I love this group. But they're the same unassuming and sometimes unimpressive disciples that were with Jesus throughout his ministry. These are the guys who argue over who should be first, the ones who often couldn't even understand what Jesus was teaching them. And we even have the one who denied Jesus three times when he was most vulnerable. We heard in our gospel today, they met Jesus after the resurrection. They recognized him, fell down and worshiped, but some doubted. So clearly, this was not a group of carefully vetted, highly qualified evangelists. They weren't mission developers with years of experience planting new churches. And if we step back and look at them, we may wonder, why exactly the Holy Spirit would choose to come into that room with that group. But that is exactly what happened. And when the Holy Spirit came into that room, things happened. That group, that small community gathered together, was able to go out into the world
and share the gospel in a way that people could understand. And we know what happened. The good news spread to all corners of the world. Not because of who the disciples were. It happened because of who God is and the power that God uses through us in the Holy Spirit. Now, without this Holy Spirit, make no mistake, we would be totally lost. Martin Luther tells us about it when he explains what it means when we say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit," in the Apostles' Creed. He says that by our own understanding or strength, we cannot even believe in Jesus. So if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we couldn't even have our faith. It's the Holy Spirit who calls us, gathers us, enlightens us, and makes us holy. We can't do it without that Spirit. Now, going out and forming the early church and spreading the gospel to the whole world is a big example of the Holy Spirit working. But the Holy Spirit is working every day in small ways in each of our lives. Now, as many of you know, I'm a cradle Lutheran, so that means that I was raised in the Lutheran Church. And honestly, I don't remember that much talk about God at home when I was growing up. What I remember is that we went to church every Sunday, and I remember I had a lot of fun in youth group. We were a small group, but we had a lot of good times. I went to an all-girls Catholic high school, and the sisters who taught there were from the Dominican tradition. And one day, and I clearly remember this, we had to go on a tour of the convent. So one of the nuns took us in, walked us all around the convent, and explained what life as a nun would be like. Now, the Dominicans live by a very interesting code or order. So they pledge when they join that order to search for truth through study, to work to create a caring community, reaching out to others by preaching and through just actions, and to enfold their lives in prayer. But now, as you might expect, after our tour and that lovely explanation of what life in the order would look like, being 16-year-old girls, we laughed and talked about how there was no way we would ever become nuns because we were worrying about the next dance and what boys we might meet. But I have to say that looking back, I realized that that day was the first day that I can recall the Holy Spirit gently blowing in my direction. Because even though I laughed with my friends, there was a part of me that deeply resonated with those ideas, living in community, taking part in just actions, enfolding my life in prayer. But you know how it goes. There are other voices in the world. The voices of my friends laughing about the idea of living in a community of faith. The people around me in high school who told me I had a bright future, and I needed to think about a career that was going to bring me wealth and success. And frankly, those are the voices that I listened to. I went off to college and a career as a public accountant. I met my husband, got married, and started a family. Now, I was still going to church every Sunday. I brought my kids to Sunday school. I took a turn as treasurer and served on the council. But that Holy Spirit was still hovering, calling. We moved up to Westchester, and one Lent, I decided to go out of my comfort zone and actually attend a book study and discussion at church. I had actually never done that before in all my years in the church. And in one of those discussions, the pastor looked around the room and she said to us, "Each one of you is called.
into relationship with God and to God's service in the world. Now, I had never heard that before. Maybe I missed it in all my years as a lifelong Lutheran. But I could not imagine that I was called. I had never been told that before.
I had no idea what that would look like. But the Spirit kept moving. I kept thinking about that, that I could be called, and what was it that I was called to, and what would that look like in my life?
Shortly after that, they tried to recruit me for diaconia classes, and I'm going to make a little plug here. The diaconia program is a wonderful program. It's a commitment. You have to go out one night a week over 2 years. There's some reading and some studying, but if you really want to deepen your faith, encounter pastors who are wonderful teachers, meet others who are on this journey, I highly recommend it. So make a note. But you know what? I have young kids, and I wasn't getting out on Monday nights. So I said, yeah, that's nice, but I can't do it. But the Holy Spirit is persistent. And 7 years later, I start in diaconia. After the first year in diaconia, I dropped out, and I went to seminary. Now, the last 5 years have certainly been an adventure. There have been voices all along the way telling me that I'm crazy, including my own inner critic. Right? We all have that little voice in our head that tells us, no, you can't do it. Oh, you're not good enough for this. God's not calling you to this. But that's not God's voice. And that's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. A voice of the Holy Spirit is in my family who said that they would go along with me on this journey. Sacrifices, you can ask my kids many times. Mommy has homework, mommy has to go away to school. They've made those sacrifices for me. Friends who've encouraged me, and for these past 2 years, each one of you has been the Holy Spirit for me. As you welcomed me, as you've nurtured me, and as you've walked with me on this path where the Holy Spirit is leading. There's still some struggles ahead. I have 3 classes to finish. One of them is history. I hate history. Then I have to go through the approval process, and I'll wait for a call. In a time when we know lots of congregations are struggling, they may not even be able to afford a full-time pastor. But in the midst of all of those challenges, I listen to these words, and I hear these words that Paul gave to us in his letter to the Romans. He reminds us that we have the Holy Spirit, God's presence with us in our struggles, that we have been adopted as children of God, heirs to all the promises of the resurrection, brothers and sisters with Christ. Paul reminds us that all creation is waiting and groaning in labor pains for God's vision and God's glory to be completed. And that we, as children of God, get to be part of that. Most of all, Paul reminds us that we have been saved in hope. And that because we can hope, we can wait for the things that sometimes we can't quite see amidst the struggles of our life. We can hope, and we will not be disappointed, because God is working with us towards good according to his vision. Now, we're going to gather this morning for our annual meeting here at the Resurrection. So when we get there, remember, the Holy Spirit is calling you. Yes? You, every one of you, God is calling. Maybe you can't even imagine what God is calling you to, but it will be revealed. Remember, the Holy Spirit didn't just blow through as a one-time event on Pentecost. Even though these red pyramids are going to be tucked away by the altar guild before the end of the week, the Holy Spirit is still with us, moving and breathing, gathering us into community, claiming us as children of God, and making us holy. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Feel the breeze on your face. Gather together and find strength in each other. And remember that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And then move out. Let the wind blow you. Be part of God's vision.